Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Kuf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the upper part of Kuf Beis Omid Aleph, we find ourselves in the middle of a discussion. The Gemara for today's shiur will be picking up from approximately 10 lines from the top. You can see there's a framed section, after which the Gemara says, Elo Taimo, and it's from that point in the Gemara that today's shiur will commence. We must issue a very important disclaimer before we proceed with the continuation, that one will discover when delving into the depths of the sugya through the study of Tosfosim and other commentaries, that a number of points that we've made are subject to debate and controversy, and in a few instances issues of girsa are brought up in how to read different sources and points that are mentioned in the Gemara. The purpose of our shiur, these recorded shiurim, is to present the sugya in a structured fashion and in such a way that one can maintain the flow of the shakla vetaria. So in the recent discussion, we were discussing Shitas Rav Chisda with regard to the din of making a new bracha, a bracha rishona, based on one's having changed his location. Rav Chisda quoted a halacha. He said on his own in our previous shiur that, well, it depends what kind of thing one was consuming. It depended if it was a dvorim she'ein tunin brocha lachrim bimkoman versus something that's ta'una brocha lachrim bimkoman. Exactly what falls under the category of things that require a brocha achrona bimkoman, that itself one finds is the subject of discussion of the Tosfos that you find on Kuf Aleph Amid Beis. In presenting our previous shiur, we did not get involved with the details of that, and in fact we included wine as part of the things that are ta'una brocha, as tunin brocha achrona b'mekoman, that enabled us to create a certain sense of continuity with the gemaras that were mentioned beforehand. However, categorizing wine as that is not a simple matter. But we will leave that aside in order to continue the shiurim and present the sugyas in its, we'll call, logical flow fashion. Bearing in mind, and we were mentioning this disclaimer at the outset, that there is room for quite a bit more interpretation. The last point that had been discussed in the previous year was finding a basis for Shitas Rav Chisda. The Gemara had presented a kasha on Rav Chisda on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, showing that even for things that require a brocha achrona b'mkoman, let us say, taking a somewhat comfortable example, be a piece of cake, that if one changes his location, in a case that people had been sitting and got up and left, leaving no one behind, we saw a source that said, well, if you changed your location and you want to come back and continue eating, you'll have to make a new bracha rishona. That ran counter to Rav Chisda's opinion. The Gemara then defended Rav Chisda's opinion, that courtesy of Rav Nachum Ari Yitzchak, that said that that source represents Shitas Rav Yehuda. However, the Rabbanon disagree, and they hold that Dvarim Hatunin Brocha La'achrona B'mekoman, if one wants, if one changes his location and intends to continue eating, he does not have to make a new Brocha
Rishona, even in the event that he left no one behind.
Let us now continue the Gemara in view of that discussion. The Gemara opens up with a long question. The purpose of this question will be to raise an objection to Rabbi Yochanan. Before we go further, maybe we want to recall, Shitas Rabbi Yochanan seemed to be that Shinui Mokom, the change of location, is not reason for generating the need to make a new Brocha Rishona. Turning to our Gemara, Elo, Taimo, why is it that the Chachomim disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda that we saw in the source just before this? We were dealing with things that were of significance in the sense that their final brocha, in the event that one does not intend to continue eating, one is expected to make the final brocha in the same place that they ate and not rely on making the final brocha later in some other location. So since we were dealing with those kinds of food items, we said, "Dikashen yoytzin ein tunin brocha lamafreya." When they leave, they don't have to make a final brocha. Because they intend to continue eating later, "Ukshehen choizrin ein tunin brocha lechatchila." And when they come back, they don't have to make a new first brocha, a new brichas hanenin. Avol, however, if you were talking about another kind of substance, dvorim she'ein tunin brocha la'achrehen b'mekoman, things that don't generate the need for the final brocha to be made in the same place that one ate it. For example, if one ate eggs or drank a cup of water, those kind of things, afilu rabbonon kishehen yoytzen tunin brocha mafreya, even the rabbonon would agree that when they leave, they should make a brocha achrona and not rely on the fact that they plan to continue eating eggs or drinking water later on. Ukshen choizrin, and when they come back to continue their eating, even the rabbonin would agree to unin brocha lechatchila, that you have to make a new first brocha. Well, with that in mind, it turns out then that shinui mokom, whether it be the Rabbanan or Rebbe Yehuda, Shinui Makom for Dvarim She'ein Tunin Brocha Achron B'Mekoman generates the need for making a new Brocha Rishona, new first Brocha, new Birchas Hanenin. Well, Leimo Tevei Tiufta de Rebbe Yochanan. Should we say that this represents a repudiation of Shitas Rebbe Yochanan? Rebbe Yochanan, we had seen way back, we saw him featured on Kuf Aleph, Omen Aleph. So, does this serve to repudiate his approach? Well, before answering that, the Gemara says, "Well, if you're involved with repudiating Rabbi Yochanan, v'lav mi osvine chadozima, did we not already offer a rejection to his opinion?" And we did this already on Kuf Aleph Omid Beis. You'll notice we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This draws your attention to a corresponding arrow on Kuf Aleph Omid Beis, where you'll notice three lines from the top, such an arrow with a Kuf Beis Omid Aleph indicator under it, at which point the Gemara demonstrated from a source that Shinui Mokom is Mechayev a new Brocha. So, once we've repudiated him, of what interest is there in offering an additional repudiation? So the Gemara says, "Nemo meha nami tevi tiufta." Can we not suggest that from here we also have a repudiation? The Rashbam explains the value of having a second repudiation is that if somehow the first source that was raised as an objection to Rabbi Yochanan could somehow be resolved, we would still be left with this second question. So having a second question available does have value. So as far as this is concerned, Rabbi Yochanan has a response. And you'll notice there's a long answer marking that's indicated by the tuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of the lines opposite this vertical dashed line form his defense, his response. Omar loch Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Hu hadin, the same will apply, dafilu dvarim she'ein tunin brocha lachrem b'mekomon, even things that don't require the final brocha in their original place of eating, nami ein tzrichin levorech, upon continuing their eating in a different place, if, as a result of having changed location, there is also no need to make a new first brocha, new brichas hanenin. The ha de katani okru raglan, and the fact that the source featured the term okru raglan, which we showed, we demonstrated before, was an indication that you were dealing with those significant kind of foods that require ordinarily a brocha achrona b'mekomon. The reason that the source featured that was lehodiacha koichu de Rabbi Yehuda, was to show us how far Rabbi Yehuda goes in his stringency. Deafilu dvarim shetunin brocha lachrem b'mekomon, even things like that. Taima, the only reason that there was no need to make a new bracha was the hinichu b'mikses chaverim, is because some people were left behind. Aval lo hinichu mikses chaverim, if no one had been left behind, kishen yoitzin tunin bracha l'mafreya, when they leave, they must make their final bracha and not rely on making it somewhere else. Ukshehen choizrin, and when they come back, tunin bracha l'chatchila. This is how far Rabbi Yehuda goes, that even though it's items that are significant, like a piece of cake that's described as tunin brocha lachrim b'komon, if no one is left behind in the group that left to go out, when they come back and intend to continue eating, they cannot rely on the fact that they had made a brocha rishona beforehand, but they'll have to make another brocha. Now, all of that, Rabbi Yochanan says, was in order to show us how far Rabbi Yehuda goes. However, the Rabbanan disagree. And when they disagree across the boards, says Rabbi Yochanan, and say you don't need to make a new bracha rishon as a result of shinui makom, even if it's for things that are ein tunin bracha achrona b'makomon, even less significant type things. The fact that one is mishane makom, the Rabbanan will say, you don't have to make a new bracha rishona, and that would be in accordance with Rabbi Yochanan. Tanyo kavose de Rav Chista. We have a Tanaic source that will support Rav Chista. Rav Chista had mentioned that when it comes to Dvorim Hatunin Brocha Achrein B'Mekomon, there is no need to make a new Brocha Rishona because of Shinui Mokoim. So this source will feature that point. Chaverim Shoy Mesubin Lishtois Yayin V'Okru Raglein V'Chazru Ein Tzrichin Levorech. A group of people that had been sitting and they were drinking wine. Now, this issue of the example here of drinking wine is a point that Tosfos elaborates on quite a bit. But for the sake of simplicity, even though this is a controversial point, it's important for us to categorize wine as Dvorim Hatunin Brocha Achrona B'Mekoman. Based on that, we maintain the text as it is, with the word yayin in it. Once again, if we can make the assumption that wine falls under the category of dvorim hatunin brocha achrona b'mekoman, so then this source will illustrate Rav Chista's point. Rav Chista featured dvorim hatunin brocha achrona b'mekoman, and as a result of shinui mokom, here we see a case of shinui mokom where they had gone out and came back, they don't have to make a new bracha rishona. That's what Rav Chista had said. So this source supports Rav Chista. We see a slash mark in our markings. This indicates that the Gemara that follows represents a new discussion. Before going on, we have a topic heading on the outside margin, the Nosei. Seudas Choyl, a meal that began during the weekday, Sheimshicha Ad Knisa Shabbos, that continues into Shabbos. So someone was eating a meal on Friday, and the meal continued into the nighttime, into the time that Shabbos begins. We will discuss the issue of the Kois Shel Kiddush and Kois Shel Birchas Hamazon, the cup of wine for making Kiddush, and a cup of wine that's used in honor of the recitation of the Birchas Hamazon. Tanu Rabbanan. The Tanaic source begins here, and you can see that it continues till the top, the second line from the top of Omid Beis. B'nei Chabura Shoyim Esubin, a group of people that were sitting, eating a meal. V'kidesh Aleim Hayoim. And Shabbos set in. It became dark, and that represents the beginning of Shabbos. Mevi'in L'Kois Shel Yayin. A cup of wine is brought, and before we go any further, we just want to point out that in this source, we will see two opinions. There's an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and an opinion of Rabbi Yossi, and you can see their names are featured. We've circled their names to bring out the fact that we have two opinions in this source. So the first opinion, that of Rabbi Yehuda, says that they, once the darkness sets in, and they're in the middle of their meal, nevertheless, a cup of wine is to be brought out for the purpose of reciting Kiddush. That's Mevi'in L'Kois Shel Yayin of Kiddushas Hayom. V'sheni, a second cup, Omer Olav Birchas Hamazon, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. A second cup will be used for the recitation of the Birchas Hamazon, second cup of wine. The Rashi points out on the upper part of the page, you'll notice where the Rashi, toward the end of the Rashi commentary, V'sheni, the second cup, Miyad Omer Olav Birchas Hamazon Umafsik. You will say the Birchas Hamazon immediately and break. Kinom Rav Yehuda Liel, as this is consistent with Rav Yehuda earlier. Umiu Hoyol V'Higia Oinas Kiddush Tzorach L'Kadesh Tchila. However, since darkness set in and it's time to say Kiddush, one has to make Kiddush first. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is an issue of mafsikin, a need for stopping or for breaking. Therefore, there is a recitation of the Birchas Hamazon right there, right then and there. Continuing in the source, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Oichel v'holich ad shetech shach. They started their meal on Friday. They just continue eating into darkness, into Shabbos. Gomru, well, once they, at the point that they finish their meal, then Rabbi Yossi says as follows, Kois Rishon Mevorech Olav Birchas Hamazon. With the first cup, they'll say Birchas Hamazon, Vasheni Omer Olav Kiddush HaSayom, and with the second cup of wine, he will say Kiddush. The Gemara asks, Amai, why is there a need for both cups? Why don't they say both brachas, the bracha of Kiddush and the bracha of Birchas Hamazon, on one cup? The Tosfos Dibur Masel v'Nimriu focuses this question on Rabbi Yossi. And the question is as follows. Since he continued eating into Shabbos, the Birchas Hamazon that's being recited is in effect for a meal that served as the Shabbos meal. It's true that he started on Friday, but he continued eating well into dark, so this represented his Shabbos meal. So you have a Shabbos meal that needs Birchas Hamazon, and you have Kiddush, which is a Shabbos related prayer. Why then can he not say both brachas on one cup? Why is there this insistence on having two separate cups? The Gemara answers, Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Sheshes, Ein Omrim Shtei Kedushos Al Kois Echad. The term Shtei Kedushos we won't translate literally, but rather, as the Rashbam says, two mitzvos. We don't recite two mitzvos, Kiddush as one mitzvah, and Birchas Hamazon as another mitzvah, on one cup. My time, and why not? Why don't you lump them all together onto one cup? Omer of Nachbar Yitzchok, Lefi She'ein Oisin Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos. We don't want to make mitzvahs, like package them together. Chavilah is a package. We don't want to lump them all together, because by doing such, it gives the impression that they are a burden upon me, that I'm trying to get rid of the mitzvahs as quickly as possible, loading them all up onto one cup. So we don't do that. We treat each one separately with its own significance, assigning a separate cup for each mitzvah, one for the Kiddush and one for the Birchas HaMazon. The Gemara at this point raises a series of questions on this rule. We just said that as a result of Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilos, we don't fulfill two mitzvahs with one cup. But we'll see numerous cases that seem to contradict that. And in our comments in the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading. The topic here is Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos. And the structural note, the triangles represent Kushios Al Haklal Hanal, questions on the principle that was just stated above. So the Gemara asks, Velo, is that really so? That Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos? And as a result of that, we don't do two Kedushos Al Kaisecha. V'ha Tanya, we have the following source. Hanichnas Lebeso Lemotzoi Shabbos. One enters his house on Saturday night. Mevorech Al HaYayin, Val HaMor, Val HaBesamim. He proceeds to the what we call the Havdalah ceremony. So he makes a bracha on the wine and on the candle and on the besamim. V'achakach omer havdola al hakois, and then he recites the havdola passage on a cup of wine. V'im ein loy elo kois echod, and if he has only one cup, manichoi la'achar hamozon u'meshal shilon kulon li'acharov, he holds off on the use of the cup of wine. He holds off on the havdola until he finishes his Motzoi Shabbos meal, and he recites all of the brochas on one cup. And for our purposes, we will emphasize he, in effect, is going to be reciting Havdalah and Birchas HaMazon on that one cup. Now, we've dashed underlined this expression, U'mishal Shalon Kulon La'acharov, where Mishal Shalon literally is he chains, like a chain is made of links, a series of items. And here we have a series of brachas all on one cup of wine. And specifically, the Havdalah and the Birchas HaMazon. So does that not run counter to the klal we said before, to the rule we said before? The Gemara says, the rule stands, this case is different, ein lo shiny, where as was featured in this in the example, we dashed underline the expression two lines up. He has only one cup. Ein lo elo kos echad. Ein lo. He doesn't have two cups. He doesn't have the means. He doesn't have the means of separating the mitzvahs, assigning a separate cup to each mitzvah. That's a different case. And as a result of that, he's entitled to lump them all together on one because he has no choice. Question. This is a case where Yom Tov is on a Sunday. So you have Yom Tov following Shabbos. The Is lay. He has a cup. He has wine. The assumption at this point in the Gemara, and this is spelled out by the Rashbam, that we're talking about the first night of Pesach. And where the first day of Pesach is on a Sunday, so Motzoi Shabbos, Saturday night, he is finishing Shabbos, he's going to need to say Havdalah, and because it's Yom Tov, he's going to need to say Kiddush, and he's got plenty of wine, being that he has a need for the Arba Kaisis, so we can assume that there's a ready supply of wine. And what does it say? So, the case of Yom Tov Shechalios Achar HaShabbos, the Is lay, that he has wine, as we said, according to the Rashbam, we're assuming that we're talking about the first night of Pesach, the Omar Rav, and Rav says, this is now an abbreviated expression, Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah. In this expression, you see that Kiddush, the Kuf represents Kiddush, and the Hay represents Havdalah, that all of these are being recited on one cup of wine. Namely, when he is going to recite the Kiddush of of Pesach night, he's going to recite the Kiddush, and over the same cup of wine, he is going to be reciting Havdalah because of the passage of Shabbos. The Gemara answers that the case here is not like what we thought. Amri, midalo omar zman, from the fact that in the teaching of Rav, he mentioned four brachas, Yayin, Kiddush, Ner, and Avdalah, but there's no reference to Zman, which is Shechianu. Shechianu is the bracha that's recited when a new holiday begins, when a holiday sets in. However, in the teaching of Rav, where he lists the four brachas, he doesn't mention Zman, which is Shechianu. So, Michlal de Beshivini, Shel Pesach Askinon, it must be that we're at the seventh day of Pesach. Seventh day of Pesach is a holiday. It's a Yom Tov with all Yom Tov restrictions. However, it's simply the end of Pesach, so there's no need to say Zman. But as a result of the fact that Rav is talking specifically about Shvi Shel Pesach, the Chol Maida Havelei, all that he had, all of his wine supply, Ochilei Veles Lei, he's eaten it, he's consumed everything, it's the end of the holiday, very little is left, so in fact we're back to a case of Ein Lo, like we said before. So in such a case where he has no further wine, he has no more wine, he's limited. Therefore, he's entitled to say the two, the Kiddush and the Avdalah, on one cup. That's as far as that last question is concerned, and we have now this answer. I would like to call it an interim answer because things are going to change as we go on in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, third question, V'ha Yom Tov Rishon De'is Lei, at the beginning of Yom Tov, the first day of Yom Tov, where a person does have a supply of wine. V'omar Abaye, and Abaye, and you'll see here we know we're talking about the first day of Yom Tov because we have the term Zman is mentioned, Zayin, in the following abbreviation. Yak Zina, Abaye says that one is supposed to recite the following. Yayin Kiddush Zman Ner Havdalah. V'rova Omar Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman. He switches the order, but according to both of them, you have Kiddush and Havdalah being recited on one cup of wine. So, what about the halacha of Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas? And yet here we're doing two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Kiddush and the mitzvah of Avdalah, on one cup. The Gemara answers, Ella, this is a new answer. Havdalah v'Kiddush Chada Milsahi. Havdalah and Kiddush don't represent two separate mitzvahs. There are two practices that fall under the same heading. The heading being the distinction between the holy and the mundane. Kiddush is when you're going from mundane into holiness, and Havdalah is when you're going from holiness into the mundane, into the common, into the weekday. Or more accurately, when you're going from a lower level of sanctity into a higher level of sanctity, you recite Kiddush. When you are going from a higher level of sanctity into a lower level of sanctity, you recite Havdalah. That will include even the case of Shabbos into Yom Tov. Shabbos is a higher level of sanctity. You're going into Yom Tov, there's the need for Havdalah. But both of them, Havdalah and Kiddush, are really one idea. They are both celebrations of transition from holiness to mundane. And that's what the Gemara refers to as Chada Milsahi, and therefore we don't confront the issue of Chavilos. There's no issue of lumping together disparate elements. However, Birchas HaMazon V'Kiddush, this was the topic that was addressed on the upper part of the page, where Rav Huna said in the name of Rav Sheshes, he explained the need for the two separate cups, one for Kiddush and one for Birchas HaMazon. Well, those are two disparate elements. That's what the Gemara says here, is Birchas HaMazon V'Kiddush are trei mili ninhu, and therefore we don't say them over one cup in the event that you have wine available, because lumping the two of them onto one cup would be a violation of Ein Oisin Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.